Cambridge University, and he's going to tell us about instantons, a window into the physics of M-fire brains.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'd like to begin by thanking to the organizer for giving me an opportunity to give a talk at PI on my last day of visit to PI. And I'm going to talk today about some physics of multiple M-fire brains by studying some instantons carefully. So this talk is based on my recent paper, this one, with my collaborators in Korea, especially Kim Young Lee and Seok Kim. So let me first remind you a few stuff on the theory living on multiple M-fire brains. It is believed that the low energy effective theory living on multiple M-fire brains can be described by six-dimensional maximally superconformal field theory, which is called 2.0 theory. And this is the theory for tensor supermultiplet, which contains two firm gauge fields. It is very important cornerstone for the formulations of M theory, and also very important for some kind of hierarchy of the supersymmetric theory. This is a kind of granddaddy of large class of quantum field theory in lower dimensions. In other words, this theory provides some unified framework to understand some general properties of all large class of quantum field theory in lower dimensions, and points out some hidden relation between those two different looking quantum field theory in the in lower dimension. This is a kind of theme of the recent development for the last couple of years. And there is an AD classification of the theory, but today I will mainly focus on A-type theory. But unfortunately, nothing much has been explored or understood about the theories. Even the Lagrangian has not been constructed so far. But using their definition in the string theory or M theory, and using other various kinds of duality in the string theory, one believes that the theory must be strongly interacting, because one can argue that this theory cannot have any tunable dimensionless coupling constant. And using the AdS-CFT correspondence, one can argue that the number of the degrees of freedom of this multiple M-fire brain theory should scale like NQ. Here N is the number of the M-fire brains, which is much faster than the other system we have studied so far. And this is one of the big mystery of this M theory. And when you use so-called anomaly inflow argument, you can more precisely measure the number of the degrees of freedom, which is given by N cubed minus N. So this is a very difficult theory. We don't know how to attack this one. But there are some number of indirect ways to investigate this mysterious theory. And along the line, I will mainly discuss about the five-dimensional super-Young-Mills theory, maximally supersymmetric Young-Mills theory, with emphasis on its intriguing relation to the six-dimensional 2.0 theory. So let me suppose that these M5 brains are now wrapping on a circle and do the Kaluza-Klein reductions. Then the dynamics of the lowest mode in this KK tower can be governed by this five-dimensional maximally supersymmetric Young-Mills theory, and the gauge group is given by UN. It's sort of natural to understand when you think of this type 2A reductions, because M5 brain in this reduction just becomes D4 brains, and this maximally supersymmetric Young-Mills theory is nothing but the world volume theory of this D4 brains. And the gauge coupling constant of this gauge theory is now proportional to the size of the circle. Therefore, this theory is non-renormalizable theory. So in a sense, this five-dimensional gauge theory is ill-defined quantum field theory. But somehow, this theory has a lot of attention from the field for many years because of the following reasons. So when you do the dimensional reduction, this lower dimensional theory normally lose many information about the higher dimensional theories, because we just ignore the massive mode in the KK tower. But very interestingly, this massive mode in this KK tower in this case reappear in the five-dimensional quantum field theory as a non-perturbative state, which is the instanton solitons. So somehow this five-dimensional theory still knows about this higher dimensional origins. And it's also quite easy to understand in the context of the M theory and type 2A. So when you do the type 2A reductions, this KK momentum mode just becomes D0 brains, which moving around the D4 brains. And one can argue that this Kaluza-Klein momentum is nothing but the instanton charge in the context of five-dimensional theory. And you can just And the mass of this instanton is exactly agrees with the mass of the KK momentum charge. So based on this observation, some people, including Neil Lambert and his company, propose that the non-perturbative formulations, whatever their meaning is, or five-dimensional equal two-supernumerary theory may define this mysterious six-dimensional 2.0 superconformal field theory, which is very challenging proposals. But today, I would rather study some supersymmetric observables, which is insensitive to this UB issues of UG details, which is more precisely, I want to study the quantum degeneracy of the BPS particle in this five-dimensional supersymmetric Yang-Mills theory. So in order to study this BPS spectrum of this five-dimensional theory, let me first take a look at this supersymmetric algebra, which summarized here. This capital letter MN just denote this spino indices, and IJ represents this SP4R symmetries, and here K represents this instanton charges, Q is nothing but the electric charge. When you give some non-zero expectation value to the vector scalar field in the vector multiplet, which parameterize the Coulomb branch. So let me first discuss about the BPS spectrum in the symmetric phase. In other words, we turn off all vacuum expectation value, then we don't have this last term. So there, obviously, we have half BPS state, which is nothing but the instanton, which can be understood as a degenerate brain dissolved into these D4 brains. And one can argue that this instanton must be belonging to the massive tensor multiplet, which contains massive tensor field, two-form tensor field, and five real scalar fields, and their superpartners, fermionic superpartners. And I just summarized the representations of their representation under the little group of S1, 1.4 and the R symmetries here. This is the massive tensor field. Then let me discuss about the BPS spectrum in the Coulomb phase. But here, we just assume that we give a non-zero vacuum expectation value to only one scalar field among the five. In other words, this D4 brain is now separated along the only one direction for simplicity. And in general point of this Coulomb branch, the gauge symmetry is UN is now broken down to product of U1. And there, clearly we have W boson as a half BPS particle. And this must be belonging to the massive vector multiplet. But in addition to this half BPS particle, one can show that we have quarter BPS particle, which carries both electric charge and instanton charge. And this quarter BPS state can be understood as a sort of bound state between the W boson and instanton, or some bound state between the degenerate brain and fundamental string stretched between two parallel D4 brains. And when you look at this mass formula for this quarter BPS state, you can easily see that this bound state is actually a threshold bound state, because there's no binding energy between the constituent BPS particle. There's no, this is the energy for instanton. This is the energy for W boson. There's no more binding energies. So this is threshold bound state. And study the degeneracy of this threshold bound state is extremely subtle. So my first goal in this talk is to how to define some quantity which carefully count this threshold bound state in the five-dimensional n equal two supernumerary theory.
The mass is just
related to the
field.
W boson mass?
Yeah.
It's related, it's proportional to the Coulomb branch parameter, of course.
Yeah, I mean,
this one.
Mass, yeah, so
is it k equal to 0? Oh, yeah, k equal to 0 case.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Then the, okay,
yeah. Okay. So someone may ask why such a quarter BPS state would be interesting. So, and this cartoon just answered to that question. So this is the cartoon what I'm interested in now. There are D4, bunch of D4 brains where we have this five-dimensional maximally supersymmetric Yang-Mills theory in Coulomb phase. This fundamental string tells us about this, carries some electric charges, and this degenerate brain is nothing but the instanton charge. This represents the quarter BPS state in the five-dimensional theory. But when you elevate the system to the M theory, it becomes a system of M5 brains parallel and M2 brains stretched between two different M5 brains, and this degenerate brain becomes KK momentum mode. And here, which I will explain later, this M2 brain can be understood as a self-just string excitation in this two-commodular theory. And therefore, when you carefully count the quantum degeneracy of this quantum VP state, there is a big chance to understand the Walsh spectrum of this self-just string. So this is a part of my motivation to study this quantum VP state more in more details. So it will become clear. So then the next question is how to count such a quantum VP state. Then I found that using the quantum mechanics of these digital brains interacting with the D4 brain and the fundamental string, it's extremely useful to count such a quantum VP state. More precisely, I will compute some sort of Witten index of this quantum mechanics of digital brains interacting with D4 brains. So let me discuss about this quantum mechanics in a little bit more detail. But instead of presenting the Lagrangian and all the other math, I just give you some few essential things. So this quantum mechanics of digital brain is gauge quantum mechanics. The gauge group is UK. Here K is nothing but the instanton charge in the five-dimensional point of view. And this N is the rank of the five-dimensional gauge group. When you look at this brain configurations here, this brain configuration is invariant under the two SO4 rotations. One is the rotation in this 1, 2, 3, 4 plane. Another is the rotation for 6, 7, 8, 9 plane. And this symmetry realized as a global symmetry of this quantum mechanics. And this quantum mechanics preserves 8 supercharges. And their representations under those two SO4 is represented here. It's summarized here. The first two numbers tells us the representations with respect to the first SO4, and second two number represents tells us about the representation for the second SO4. And the five-dimensional gauge theory, which is UN, can be realized as a global symmetry of this quantum mechanics. And please, here you have to remember that when you go into the Coulomb phase of the five-dimensional theory, this one has to be broken down to the product of U1 symmetries. And then let me discuss about the field content of this quantum mechanics. So we have one vector multiplet in the 8 supercharged language, and one adjoint hypermultiplet, which coming from the string excitations of these digital brains. And in addition to that, we have n fundamental hypermultiplet, which arise from the string connecting 0 brains and 4 brains. And here, the 4 real scalar field in the adjoint hypermultiplet, whose representation under those two SO4 is given by this. This 4 real scalar field parameterize the positions of these 0 brains inside the D4 brains. So this is a kind of position moduli of the instanton. And the scalar field in the hypermultiplet, a fundamental hypermultiplet, contains the scale modulus of instanton. And these two quantities is known to be known as the aidation data of the instanton. And the five real scalar field in the one vector multiplet, whose representation is this, describe the motions of digital brain and positions of digital brains along the directions transverse to the D4 brains. Away from the D4 brains. So let me discuss about the possible interactions of this quantum mechanics. Because it's a gauge quantum mechanics, we obviously have determinations. And when you solve this determination, determination potential, and when you solve this determination, you can easily see that this is identical to the so-called ADH indication of the instantons, K instantons. So when you think of the symmetric phase of the five-dimensional Yang-Mills theory, one can identify the half EPS instanton soliton in the five-dimensional theory as a supersymmetric ground state in this quantum mechanical point of view, because it solves this vacuum indications. But there is another interaction, which is induced from the Coulomb branch thing. So remember that when you go into the Coulomb branch of the five-dimensional theory, the gauge group is broken down to the product of U1. And this is the flavor symmetries. And the way to achieve this kind of symmetry breaking in the quantum mechanics is to give some twisted mass term to the fundamental hypermultiplet. And And this mass is proportional to the Coulomb branch parameter V. And because of this additional interactions, which arise from the Coulomb branch parameter, one can show that the energy of this quantum mechanics is always lower bounded by this quantity. Here, this Q, in this quantum mechanics sense, is U1 flavor charges. But in the point of view, in the five-dimensional gauge theory point of view, is the electric charges. And this quantity is the exact, this quantity exactly agrees with the quantity of this here. So we can identify this quarter BTS state in the five-dimensional theory as a half BTS state in this quantum mechanics. So this is the correspondence. And this half BTS state preserves four supercharges among the eight, and their representation under the this S2 SO4 symmetry is summarized here. So we just discussed how to identify this BPS state in the five-dimensional theory as some state in quantum mechanics point of view. Then the next question is how to define some quantity which counts such a degeneracy. So in a sense, we want to define a sort of Witten index in this quantum mechanics. So we choose one linear combinations of preserved supercharge, Q. And there, using this supercharge, we can define this kind of supersymmetric index. But this quantum mechanics is two supersymmetrics. So you can obtain this Witten index just become trivial. In other words, there is a huge cancellation between the bosonic degrees and the fermionic degree. You get always zero. So in order to get some non-trivial, non-zero result for this, we have to count the BPS state depending on their global charges. We have to weight the state with respect to the charges. In other words, we have to introduce the chemical potentials with respect to the charges, global charges, which commute with the supercharge what we have used to define the index. If we use some global, introduce some chemical potentials with, associated to some charges which doesn't come with this supercharge, then it breaks the notions of index. And this supercharge, this one, is singulate under the first and the second, a third SU2, which is this and this. We can introduce the chemical potential for that. And this particular linear combinations here is neutral under the diagonal subgroup of the second SU2 and the third, fourth SU2, which is this one. So we can introduce the chemical potential for that. And also we can introduce the chemical potential for flavor charge of this series. And when you compute this index, you can have some non-zero result. And that will tell us about the BPS spectrum, degeneracy of the BPS spectrum, which carry instanton charge K. Then I would like to define this kind of generating function by introducing one additional chemical potential associated to the instanton charge K. Then this is the quantity what I really want to compute.
Sorry, question. So how do you know that index counts only instanton number K?
Because that's our setup. The quantum mechanics we constructed so far is the quantum mechanics for K degenerate branches. Yeah. So this quantum mechanics knows about the spectrum of K, I mean, state carrying the instanton charge K. So after tedious computation for a long time, we finally found that this quantity exactly coincides with the Nekrasov instanton partition functions of the five-dimensional and equal two supersymmetric Yang-Mills theory compactified on a circle. This beta is the same as this beta with what we define in the Witten index. So this n equal two star supersymmetric theory is the start from the maximally supersymmetric Yang-Mills theory and decompose this vector multiplet into the vector multiplet in a supercharged sense and adjoint hypermultiplet and give some non-zero mass to this adjoint hypermultiplet. This is the theory called n equal two star supersymmetric theory. But in order to get this kind of coincidence, we have to match parameters in both quantity as follows. I mean, in this way. So the fugacity of the instanton charge here, Q, should be identified as an instanton factor. And the chemical potential for the electric charge should be identified as a scalar, I mean, Coulomb branch parameter in this Nekrasov sense. And this chemical potential of these combinations can be naturally identified as the omega deformation parameters in this Nekrasov sense. And finally, the leftover chemical potential should be identified as a mass parameter of this adjoint hypermultiplet in this five-dimensional N equal two star theory.
So with gamma R and gamma L, they were chemical potentials respect to which power charge?
So it's the chemical potential for this and this.
So along the D4.
Along the D4. This is the direction where this instanton position, I mean, direction where this instanton can move. So it's a spatial rotation direction. Okay, and then after you, then you can just follow the result which has been developed by Nekrasov, and this is the answer. So how can I say? So this index can become, or the Nekrasov partition functions can be obtained, can be expressed as an infinite sum. In terms of power of Q, in terms of Q, and for each coefficient of this power series can be obtained from some recipe developed by Nekrasov, which can be characterized some lots of Young diagrams, and this is the result. But I just don't want to go into details about this Nekrasov partition function.
That's how Nekrasov did it. So how did you do it?
By brute force computation of the five instanton sector. Five instanton.
Five.
Yeah. 5 by 5 matrix computation. And we just matched, I mean, we have result up to fifth order of Q. Uh-huh. And we found that this is nothing but, it just agrees with Nekrasov partition function, at least up to fifth order of Q.
But I guess that is going to be more relevant. So in the quantum mechanics, which computation do you do there to compute, number 5?
So we have, gauge quantum mechanics,
yes.
The matrix size is 5 by 5.
Yes.
Then because of this interaction, because of this kind of implications, what you need to do is, it's a kind of localization technique. You will take the phase Laplace parameter to be as a very large number.
Uh-huh.
Those, and you will take the beta goes to zero limit. This is the temperature, inverse temperature to zero limit. Then you can argue that this path integral of this quantum mechanics is localized as a set saddle point which satisfies the vacuum this kind of equations. And that equation can be characterized by the Young diagram, what Nekrasov did. And
the saddle point equation is a Nekrasov saddle point
equation. Exactly, agree.
Okay.
And what you need to do is just to do one loop determinant around that set point, quite parallel computations. But when I did this computation, I didn't know anything about the Nekrasov partition functions. So we just waste our time, actually. It's quite parallel what Nekrasov did.
Inside a box,
right? Oh, this characterized the saddle point.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some. Like, I mean, it characterized the boxes here, in a sense.
You just write the number of the R and the right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, this is not that important. I mean.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The main message is the index. What we want to know is exactly coincide with the Nekrasov partition function, whose solution is already known. So this is the first part. And for the second part of the talk, I will use this result to learn some novel physics and some interesting features of this multiple and five-brain theory. So
I have a question. You computed the an index. I mean, having the index is not the same as the degeneracy.
But
unless you know that all of them are bosonic.
I agree with that, but there is some trick. You will be, okay. You will see. So this kind of thing will be addressed, but probably because of the time limitation, I cannot say the last one, the superconformal index. So let me first discuss about the uniquenesses of U1 instantons. So it has been conjectured from the M theory, that there must be unique one particle state for all instanton number k in the five-dimensional inequality to super-Hamming theory when the gauge group is abelian. In other words, the supermultiplex structure for all instanton soliton must be the same regardless of their instanton charges. The supermultiplet should be always given by and should be belonging to the massive tensor multiplet, whatever the instanton charges. And this kind of thing is sort of natural to understand when you believe M theory, actually. So when you think of the five-dimensional abelian gauge theory can be obtained as a KK reduction of six-dimensional theory living on a single M5 ring, which is a free theory. It's a trivial theory. And this instanton just KK mode in this compactified direction. And one can argue there, because it's a free theory, one can easily show that this KK mode must be belonging to the massive tensor multiplet, regardless of their KK momentum charge. And when you do the dimension reduction down to the 5D, then everything is so clear. So it's a kind of trivial statement, but at the level of field theory analysis, it's a very challenging problem in a technical sense. And if you can prove this kind of thing in the context of the five-dimensional quantum field theory analysis, it is sort of provide some one another evidence to believe the existence of M theory. Of course, now everybody believes the M theory, but it's a kind of challenging problem in the quantum field theory. And earlier attempts to attack this problem is to construct and count the number of the normalizable harmonic form on the instant moduli space. This is normalized harmonic form is corresponds to the wave function of this instant. And it has been done only up to k equal 2, two instanton charge case, by Kim Young Lee and David Tong and Sang Han Yi. But this approach has obvious limitation. When you increase the instanton charge to 3 and 4 and 5, the problem becomes more and more difficult and complicated. But it is like clear that if we study the index what we have defined, there is a big chance to prove this conjecture systematically for all instanton charge k. So let me first clarify one possible difficulty along that direction, I mean using the instanton to prove this conjecture. The index what we have computed actually counts not only single particle contributions, but also multi-particle contributions. So you need first separate out the single particle contributions from the index, which is in general very difficult problems, in the, at least in the interacting theory. But fortunately, this instanton particle or digital particles, they don't have any long-range forces between them because they just preserve the same supercharged directions. It's a kind of mutually non-interacting system. In other words, this system is just free system. Then this question about the separations of single particle things from the index become boils down to some kind of combinatorial problem because it's essentially the free system. And one can easily read off this single particle contribution from this index by rewriting the index into the so-called plicistic exponential form. This is called the plicistic exponential form. Then the quantity in the box here will tell us about the single particle contribution to the index. This is just a combinatorial property. So then let me discuss how to constrain the possible expression for the single particle contributions using the conjecture, if we believe the conjectures. So let me first expand the single particle index in this way. This number here represents the contribution, single particle contribution from the particle which carrying which carries instanton number charge K. And then, if you believe the conjecture, what is the conjecture? The supermultiplet structure for all instanton number, all instanton must be the same. It must be the same supermultiplet, which is massive tensor multiplet. So that implies that this I sub K must be the same, whatever their instanton charge number K is. And because of this constraint coming from the conjecture, the single particle index must take the following form, or the index what we have computed should take the following form if we believe the conjecture from the M theory. And actually, we can see such a structure order by order of Q using the Nekrasov recipe to compute this index. But you know, this Nekrasov expression for the index is an infinite sum, but so it's a little bit difficult to rewrite it into the exponential form. But actually, one can work it out more systematically using the recent development, which is called the refined topological vertex technique. One good thing to use this kind of technique is that instanton partition functions can be written as infinite product, not infinite sum. Then you can easily rewrite it into the exponential form. There, you can actually see the right form, what you expect from the conjecture. So it's a kind of proof of this conjecture coming from the M theory. And furthermore, the single particle contribution here is given by this expression. And one can easily show that this is nothing but the contribution from the massive tensor multiplet, which is the super multiplet associated to this instanton particle. So everything is just nicely fit into the physics.
The other
king
potential, like a mu or
gamma? This is the U1 theory. There is no electric charge. There's no Coulomb phase. And we have the chemical potential for this SU2.
Okay. So those
structure
correspond to Epsilon 1 and Epsilon 2
in gamma left and gamma right correspond to epsilon parameters.
Gamma tilde L corresponds to mass.
In the language of an Nekrasov partition function, yes. So interesting, but not so surprising, in a sense. Anyway, we can prove this conjecture using this index. So let me go on to the second thing, which is the Wolschitz spectrum of the self-dual string, which hasn't been studied so far. So let me first briefly review what the self-dual string is. So consider that 2 and 5 brains in the Coulomb phase, like this parallel and 5 brains. And one can show that there are massive string excitations in this theory, which are charged under the two-form gauge field, E mu nu, living on this M5 brains, which is charged both electrically and magnetically because of the self-dual conditions. And this is the reason why we call these excitations as a self-dual string. And the self-dual string can be understood as an M2 brain stretched between two parallel M5 brains. And I'm interested in the Wolschitz momentum mode, momentum excitations along the Wolschitz direction of the self-dual string, like this curtain. And suppose that this system is compactified on a circle and due to Kaluza-Klein reduction, this system just becomes the system of D0 brains and fundamental string and D4 brain. So this Wolschitz spectrum is nothing but the quarter BP state in the five-dimensional Yang-Mills series. So it strongly suggests that this index, what we define and compute it for this quarter BP state, can provide some non-trivial predictions or results for the Wolschitz spectrum of the self-dual string, which has been studied. So how to read off this spectrum of self-dual string from the index? The first thing, we need to again separate out the single particle index. But again, this quarter BPS particle doesn't have any long-range forces between them. There's, as you can see, there's no binding energies. So the system can be understood as a kind of free particle system. So this kind of problem just boils down to the combinatorical problem again. So you can read up the single particle index from this plicistic exponential form. Then, in order to get the spectrum for some particular self-dual string, we will expand the single particle index in terms of the chemical potentials for the electric charges, like this way. This is the chemical potential for the electric charge. Then you can read this, each coefficients of this chemical potentials will tell you about the quantum degeneracy or Walsh's spectrum of the self-dual string for particular type. For example, this coefficient will tell us about the number of the quarter VPS state between the digital brains and the fundamental string stretched between the first and the third digital brains. This will tell us about the electric charge. In other words, this contains some information about the Walsh's spectrum of self-dual string stretched between the first and third and five brains. This one tells us about the Walsh's spectrum of self-dual strings stretched between the second and the fifth and five brain. Oh, sorry. The spectra EI represents this basis of U1 electric charge lattice. Okay, so from this each coefficient, you can read up the Walsh's spectrum of the self-dual string carrying some particular electric charge. So let me first work out some simplest case, which is the ST2 self-dual strings. This is the nothing but the M2 brain stretched between the two adjacent M5 brain. And for simplicity, we will set one of the chemical potential to be pi, which almost kills the effect of minus 1 to the f. So in other words, when you set this number by pi, this index can be partially turned into the partition function. It will become clear later. And I will take the limit such that two of the chemical potential going to zero limit. This is just a technical for the technical convenience. Actually, one can work it out for arbitrary value of the chemical potential, but it's just for the simplicity. And we compute this index, which contains the information about the Walsh's spectrum of this particular self-dual strings, and we can get this kind of numbers. This 8 tells us that there are 8 Walsh's momentum, momentum charges 1 along the self-dual string. Here, we can understand that there are 40 Walsh's momentum, momentum charges 2 along the self-dual string, and so on and so forth. And we found that these infinite series can be nicely reorganized into the following infinite product. And this is nothing but the partition function of the 4 free bosons and 4 free fermions in this 1 plus 1 dimensional theory. And this 4 free bosons can be understood as a central mass motion of the self-dual string along the M5 direction, which is 1, 2, 3, 4 directions. So again, this index nicely fits into our physical expectations. It's not interesting, but not so surprising. But in order to get more and more exciting things, we just don't want to stop there. We started to think about the more general self-dual strings carrying some different electric charge, as shown in this cartoon. So this M2 brain is now stretched between 2 and 5 brain, which is not adjacent to each other. So this M2 brain is now intersect some of the M5 brains. And this is the answer, some tiny part of the answer. So this index contains some information about the Walsh's spectrum of self-dual string stretched between the first M5 and third M5. This contains information about the self-dual string stretched between the first M5 and the fourth M5. And this, we got this kind of tons of series, which looks very crazy. So we first tried to separate out the contributions from the central mass motion of the self-dual string.
This product converges, it's an infinite product.
Very difficult to answer. I don't know. Probably yes, because we found this explicit. Right. I don't know. So when you factor, I mean, it doesn't stop there. As you increase the length of the self-dual strings longer and longer, you get more and more extra modes. And this extra mode can be nicely reorganized in this way. I mean, the second one contains, I mean, second thing can be expressed as the square of the first thing. And this number tells us that this extra mode seems to arise whenever this M2 brain intersects M5 brain. So this number is nothing but the number of the M5 brain intersecting with M2 brain. I don't know why, but it seems like this kind of extra mode arises whenever this M2 intersects M5. And after really a number of trial and error, we finally managed to rewrite this infinite series as the following closed form, which contains a lot of interesting implication to the physics of the receptor string, which I will discuss a little bit later. So let me first discuss about the consequence of this extra mode.
Sure, sir. So, what is the number of M5 brains between the...
Right. The M5 brain intersect with M2 brain.
Yes.
The M5 brain between
this,
yeah, yeah. So when you think of N and phi brains, roughly speaking, we have N squared different receptor strings ending on two different M5 brains, right? And when you take the low energy limit, or when you look at the low momentum factor, basically you have N squared degrees of freedom associated to the central mass motion of the receptor string. This is the degrees of freedom at low energy. But as I presented here, when you increase the momentum, increase the momentum charge, so when you go to the higher momentum factor, it seems we have more and more extra degrees of freedom. And this high momentum limit is a kind of, you know, when this this high momentum momentum state is insensitive to the size of the circle. So it's a kind of decompactification limit or a six-dimensional limit. So that factor contains some information about the spectrum in pure M5 decompact, I mean, M5 brain defined flat space time, not the circle. So the question is, how many extra degrees of freedom we can have for this high momentum sector? So in order to get this extra, figure it out, we conventionally we will take the limit where this Q goes to 1 from the below, and this index, which contains the information about the receptor string stretched between the I and J M5 brains, is asymptotic to these expressions. And from there, this number will tell us about the degeneracy of the high momentum mode in this receptor string. There are 6 J minus I degrees of freedom. And when you collect all such a degrees of freedom of single receptor string, this n squared, n minus 1 over 2 receptor strings, interestingly, we get n cubed minus n, which is exactly coincide with the anomaly coefficient of NN5 brain. So honestly speaking, we don't know why we have such a coincidence. We don't have any clear physical understanding of this coincidence. But somehow we are tempting to say that maybe this is a kind of remnant of M cubed of M5 brain theory in the Coulomb phase, but we don't have, honestly speaking, we don't have any clear understanding of this coincidence. Then let me go back to the expression that I advertised, which contains lots of information about the Celestial string. This page is for the speculations. You don't need to trust me. It's just a speculation. So this extra mode can be nicely expressed by this closed form. And you can see that there are one additional letter, Z. So it seems like this Z represents that this on this 1 plus 1 dimensional theory of Celestial string, there seems to be U1 symmetry, which is not manifest in the low energy limit. It seems like we have some emergent U1 symmetry. But at the end, we will impose this U1 invariant condition, a singular condition, which implies that this emergent U1 symmetry it should be kind of gauge symmetry, not global symmetry, because we will impose this condition. And second, when you look at this infinite product, this looks like partition functions of two bosons carrying some positive charge under the first, this emergent U1 gauge symmetry, and two bosons carry minus charge, two fermions carry plus charge, two fermions carry minus charge. It seems that in this Celestial string, there is some extra degrees of freedom, and the number of the boson and fermion and the charge distributions nicely fit into the supersymmetric things. But when you look at the exponent of this one, which correspond to the momentum charge along the KK, I mean, the circle direction, it is half integers. So instance, it implies that this extra degrees of freedom, which are charged under the, this U1 emergent gauge symmetry, seems to carry some fractional instanton number or half integer KK momentum charge, which is not physically allowed. But interestingly, when you impose this thing, you want a singular condition, somehow these charged particles are combined and combined to make us some neutral state under this U1 emergent gauge symmetries, and also carries a well-defined KK momentum mode. So it seems like, so I want to call this extra degrees of freedom, extra charged degrees of freedom as a partons. And this kind of, this formula seems to tell us about that there is something like confinement mechanism between this extra partonic degrees of freedom in these septal strings. And when you take the six-dimensional limit or this high momentum sector, which is equivalent to the high temperature limit, it seems that this partonic degrees of freedom can liberate and behave like a free particles and provide some extra degrees of freedom to the system, which explain this strange n cubed degrees of freedom on 5 range. But it's just a speculation, honestly speaking, so you don't need to trust me. So this is the second thing, and I will talk about the last thing, the anomaly of the Celsius string. So what is the anomaly? So let me start with the coincident M5 range and separate one single M5 range far away from the rest, like this cartoon. And the gauge group, the symmetric group SUN is now broken down to this H times UN. H is the subgroup of G, and UN corresponds to this single M5 range far away from the rest. And I'm very I'm just interested in the system here. And the theory describing this system here should consist of three parts. One is the actions for the self-dual string, this one. And one is the actions for the bulk M5 brain. And since this M2 brain is a kind of charged source of two-form gauge field of this single M5 brain, we need to introduce the coupling. And since this whole system is invariant, again, under those two SO4 symmetries, these actions describing this system must be invariant under those two transformations. And here, this M5 actions, interrogator pointed out that there must be some Vesemino-Witten type actions whose coefficient is given by this formula. Very interestingly, this Vesemino-Witten term in this 5-brain actions is not invariant under the second SO4 transformations, which means that it should be canceled by the non-invariance of the self-dual string under this transformation. It is nothing but the anomaly of the self-dual string actions. And you know, when do you have anomaly in the 1+1 dimensions? It tells about how many massless fermionic degrees of freedom living on this two-dimensional theory. So from this kind of argument, Bowman and Harvey argue that there must be this amount of massless fermionic degrees of freedom living on this self-dual string. And I just want to give you some less macro, this is really macroscopic argument, and I want to give you some less macroscopic or some microscopic origin of this formula, what Berman and Harvey obtained. So in order to apply our technique to this system, we need to break the symmetry group completely because we have obtained this index in the Coulomb phase. And this means that this H here must be taken as U1 to the n minus 2. And this is the cartoon which describes the situations. This M5 range is really, really infinitely far away from the rest. And the self-dual string, and in this case, according to the Berman-Harvey formula, we should have this amount of degrees of freedom on the self-dual string. And the self-dual string of this case, there are n minus 1 self-dual string, which is relevant to this discussion. One is, M2 brains ending on one M5 brain far away from the rest, and another M5 brain somewhere here. There is n minus 1 in such a different self-dual string. And when you collect all degrees of, I mean, collect the degrees of freedom, which I obtained here, this number again agrees with what you expect from the Berman-Harvey formula. So it's a kind of an additional evidence to believe, support this kind of speculations, but yes, yeah, speculation. So yeah, let me conclude. So today, I try to define some index which count the quantum degeneracy of quarter BPS state of this five-dimensional maximally supersymmetric Young Mead theory. And we found that this index coincides with the Nekrasov partition functions after some suitable parameter matching. And then, using such a result, we can learn very interesting implications on the mysterious dynamics of two-combinatorial theory and self-dual string. We could prove one conjecture derived from the M theory. So another thing I would like to talk about is this one. So by these people, it has been argued that this discrete Lycon quantization of the six-dimensional two-combinatorial theory can be described by the sigma model whose target space is instanton moduli space. This is the non-relativistic superconformal theory. And our proposal is that we can do this computation, index computations, in the symmetric phase. Of course, when you take the symmetric phase limit, everything becomes really subtle. But somehow, it seems that we can handle with this subtlety. And it turns out that this index in the symmetric phase seems to be the superconformal index of this non-relativistic superconformal field theory, which is the DLCQ version of the two-combinatorial theory. And especially, we found that the index in the symmetric phase for k equal 1 sector, this is the one instanton sector, and large n limit, exactly matches with the known supergravity index for k equal 1 sector. So it seems like it's a kind of proposals at the moment. We just see the positive evidence from this k equal 1 sector only. And the second thing I want to do in future is how to understand this partonic degrees of freedom. It seems that we need some microscopic understanding of these partonic things if we really want to understand this, what is going on in the self-dual strings. And after chain of duality in the string theory, we can relate this problem to two different theories. One is the D2-D4 system with momentum mode. One is the NS5-D2 system with momentum mode. So the first one, this is nothing but the magnetic monopole moduli, monopole things in this monopole string in the five-dimensional super Young Mead theory. So maybe if we really carefully study this two-dimensional sigma model, whose target space is the magnetic monopole moduli space, then maybe we can get some idea about how to understand these partonic descriptions, what we obtain from this index computations. And when you look at the second thing, this is the two-dimensional 4.4 gauge symmetry living on these D2 brains. This theory doesn't have any Higgs branch, classically. But somehow, from the M30 point of view, Witten has argued that there must be some quantum Higgs branch of this two-dimensional 4.4 theory, even though it doesn't have any classical Higgs branch. And this extra quantum branch seems to be our partonic descriptions seems to relate this quantum Higgs branch physics, but yeah, nothing is clear. And another thing we may think about is when you look at this system, it's just we can analyze this system as a boundary. The self-dual string is nothing but the boundary of M2 brains. So when you look at the boundary theory of the, when you work out the boundary theory of the ABJM theory and quantize such a system, then maybe there's some chance to understand this partonic description, partonic degrees of freedom, what we found from this index computations. Okay, so that's all what I want to say today. And thank you for your listening. Thank you.
What do we know about this part of the
nothing is known. We can just say there must be some quantum experiments if you believe M theory. This one?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So we are interested in the spectrum of this selective string here.
Uh-huh.
And when you do the different type A reductions, M5 brain becomes D4, and this M2 brain becomes D2 brain. This is nothing but the monopole module, monopole string in the five-dimensional theory. And this momentum mode again becomes momentum mode along the string directions. So when you can study this two-dimensional sigma model, target space is monopole moduli space, and quantize it, then maybe there is some chance to understand microscopic understanding of this partonic degrees of freedom. And there's one more thing, actually, according to your question. So the expression what we found here, this one, is actually coming from this picture. You see, this system can be related to this system, and there is some gauge symmetry and bifundamental meta field. So that's the reason why we think about this emergent gauge symmetries and some charge multiplet, which looks like hypermultiplet, this kind of thing. This kind of idea comes from this way. But we were disappointed from the fact that there is no classical Higgs branch, because this extra degrees of freedom coming from the bifundamental meta field here. But we also found that Witten suggests that there must be some quantum Higgs branch, even though there is no Higgs branch in the classical limit.
But don't you say you have hypermultiplet?
Hmm?
So why is there a classical Higgs branch and hypermultiplet?
No, there's only one bifundamental hypermultiplet.
Oh.
Yeah. Then there's no Higgs branch.
Back to the slide where you have a formula with
Venn
minus work about this.
Here?
Oh, yeah. This
is the
point. So if you shift z to q to the 1/2 times z, essentially, you're going to.
You try to absorb this one?
Sorry?
You try to absorb this half integer factor,
yes,
to z?
Then you're going to get essentially 1 plus q to the n times z on the side of the on the other side, you'll get the power starting at 1 instead of 0. So
you can rewrite in that
and
way.
And then you can get rid of the half.
But it doesn't fit into the supersymmetry then. That's
so,
it doesn't fit into the supersymmetric structure. I tried to interpret this contribution from the hypermultiplet things to four bosons, four fermions, and two of them, I mean, nicely fit into the supersymmetric theory. For each momentum factor, there are four bosons, four fermions, two of them carry plus charge, two of them carry minus charge. But when you do this kind of shift, there is some sector which doesn't have such a kind of structure. I mean,
yes,
this, yeah. But I don't know.
Well,
maybe
it's some zero modes.
Mm-mm.
If you do this shift, you lose some zero modes.
Okay.
Let us thank the speaker.
Thank you.